How well do you remember now? My understanding is during that year, 1944, you flew all of your 116 missions.
I flew my last few. I don't know how many. January.
Into January 45.
Yeah, 45.
Right, but most of them in that year.
Yeah, I always say I flew them all in 44.
Yeah, right. But you were 22 years old.
22 years old.
So I would just ask everybody, what were you doing when you were 22? At 22 years of age, to do this, how accurately can you recall all those 16 and a quarter air victories that you have?
Well, I could, when I wrote my book, I had to go back and look at the documents and some of the combat reports. But, you know, I remember the main ones.
What about number one?
Oh, God. You would have to bring that up.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether I want to talk about it.
It's up to you, sir.
It's kind of embarrassing. It's a good story, though.
It is.
We get this, we're flying now under the Doolittle rules, and we still kept a lot of fighters near the bombers because that's where the Germans were come, and but it also let us send out flights to go out and fly, find these big formations of 100, 200 or more Germans that were forming up and then hitting the bombers and overwhelming the escort. And I was a flight leader because I was on the initial members of the group. And of course I was a hot pilot. Every fighter pilot's a hot pilot, but we were starting to get victories, and I would say one of the not so hot of a pilot got the first victory in our squadron, and I chased a few, and of course I had to break off and come back at that time, and I'm beginning to wonder about Bud Anderson. You know, am I really gonna fight or am I gonna run? You know, and so comes this day. It was in March, and we'd finished our escort, and we'd left the bombers, and we're heading home. And I'm leading a flight of three, and somebody joined up with us, and then another flight of four from another squadron came in, and we're heading home. So I'm leading this eight-ship flight. And I look up ahead, and I see a B-17 down low. And his engines are smoking. I think he had one feathered, I don't remember. Anyway, he was all by himself and a prime target for the Luftwaffe. And we're coming, it's over here, and we're coming from this direction. And over here comes three Messerschmitt 109s. And they're bellied up to us and hadn't seen us. I don't think they would have come in here if they'd seen eight B-51s. And they're making an attack on the bombers. So I says, come on, gang, let's go get them. And I'm number one. One of those is going to be mine. They broke their attack off and started circling, and I picked out the leader, one of them. And when you get in a dogfight, what you want to do is get in a concentric circle so that you can maneuver. But we got into a circle like this where he's heading right at me, and I get around and I can head right at him. And we hadn't got into this nice circling business where then finally I could come around, get on his tail. And I'm beginning to wonder about Bud Anderson, you know, how come I can't get right on his tail immediately like I can do? And so I said, well, the next time he comes around like this, and I'm sitting here at this high angle off, I'm gonna track him through there with my gun sight, and I'm gonna pull up here to where I think it's a lead, but I'll be bellied up like this, and I will not be able to see him. You know, I'll have to track him, pick that up, fire a burst, and hope he goes through it. And so next time he comes around, I get in there, pull it up, and fire a burst, and he flies, comes flying through, and he's smoking, coolant. Magic bullet, I got it. I knew it was a impossible shot, but I hit him. I'd been through three gunnery schools, and I knew how to shoot as a kid, so I kind of knew what I was doing. But so he pulls up and bails out immediately, and I finally got my mother, you know. And I'm kind of cheering in the cockpit there, and then I started to fly again, you know, and all of a sudden I had a feeling, and I looked out, and here's another Mustang right up on my wing, you know, just pulled right in close. And it was John England, England Air Force Base. This is the guy who was named after. And he had his max, we were down low, and he had his max oxygen mask off, and he was grinning like a, you know what, and he kind of made a motion at me, sort of like that, you know, but I couldn't quite get it. And I was a little bit shocked, and I thought, what the heck? Did he come in there and shoot that thing out from under me, you know? And I was a little upset, you know. I didn't think that was very sportsmanlike, but there's a war going on. Maybe that's the way it's going to be, you know. But I was pretty confident that I'd shot him down. But we still had a couple hours to fly to get back home. And by the time I got home, I convinced myself I probably didn't. I knew it was a miracle shot, but, you know. And so we landed, and I asked my wingman about it, and he says, oh, I was lost about that time, and I didn't really get to see it. And so that was no help. And so we go in there and debrief with intelligence officers, and I said, I want to claim a victory, but you got to hold it until I talk to somebody. They kind of looked at me funny, and I said, well, I have to get a guy to confirm it, you know. And so I'm driving over to the officers' club, where we kind of all gathered and talked about the mission that day. And on the way over, then I'm kind of thinking, well, how the hell am I going to bring this up to John England? You know, I'm going to say, hey, you. did you shoot that thing out from under me, or you know, how am I going to be delicate? How am I going to get the subject up there? So I walk in the bar. He's sitting on the end. I didn't even have to say hello. He comes running over to me, and he says, Andy, he says, that's the best shot I've ever seen. You got that sucker out there about 60 degrees angle off. And I said, no, Johnny, you know, lucky shot. So I ran to the telephone and claimed my first victory.